the beginning of it, the rock music. And it's developed even worse now.
Yes, there's a lot of talk of alcohol in schools and
Well, I was here by myself the other night and I thought, oh, I'm going to advertise a Max Gillies play. And I thought, oh, I don't mind Max Gillies, you know, so ABC, I put it on. Well, the first sentence he said, four-letter word, oh my so-and-so leg. I just hit the, I've got a remote control, I just hit the button and turned it on. I think it's unnecessary. People can't express themselves without using bad language. I feel sorry for them. They've got a poor grasp of the English language. They've got to resort to that type of thing.
And so did your children watch a lot of TV when...
No, it was control. My son was only saying the other day, we were over there, and he said, the things the kids watch on TV and the way the kids are now. And I said, he said, what caused it? I said, parental control. I said, you just think back. I said, you were never allowed to have loud music on. I said, I used to say, this is my house and I don't want it. If you want to listen to it, you take it to your bedroom and turn it down, put the headphones on. I said, you were never allowed. I said, you remember the things you weren't allowed to watch on TV? He said, yeah, I suppose so.
So even then when your children were growing up, there still weren't many neighbours around. So they still had a nice feeling of
space. Oh, well, they'd
space.
Started up the back because had I they? Can remember Craig having a dozen kid boys in the backyard to play with.
But they still had a fair bit of space.
Oh, yes, around. Yes. There were, those houses weren't down behind there. So there was room.
And what did your children do for recreation? Did they go dancing to the movies?
No. Oh, well, Craig was in Scouts and Cubs and all that. That's what I say. Two dogs met on the corner, Craig would have to be there. St John's Ambulance classes, drumming lessons, whatever, you know. It doesn't matter that he's not going to become expert at them, but he had to be there. Yeah. Couldn't be left out of anything. He's an organiser and a joiner.
And did you have a lot of friends in the area through neighbours or through the school clubs and so forth? Did
myself? You have, yes. No. Oh, I had acquaintances, but not close. Close, not really close friends. Somebody that I used to occasionally maybe take one of the children for a walk in the stroller in the afternoon to visit them and come home. Not like my mother had a close friend that lived at least a mile away, at least.
Yeah.
And they used to visit each other. Maud, her name.
Maud.
Maud. And she... Maud had come down here on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, and have afternoon tea. Mum would have the embroidered tablecloth and the sugar and the cakes and the tarts or whatever she'd made, you know. And then the next week, Mum would get, she'd only be here about an hour or the next door. And the next week, Mum would go over to Maud's and Maud would have the afternoon tea table set with the embroidered tablecloth.
Go to so much trouble just
yes,
for hours,
that's right. Maybe 2 hours at the most, but and to walk that far too.
And she thought nothing of it, I suppose.
No.
And you had a car when your children were growing up.
Yes,
so
yes.
Easier for you to get around.
Yes, well, we used to take them in the summertime a lot to the beach. We found that was a good recreation.
Which beach did you go to?
Collaroy mostly. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we'd go down south or we did take them up to Coolangatta.
And did you go on family picnics and that sort of thing?
Yeah, barbecues. Yeah. Well, we went to the beach for our picnics in the summer and we went out into the bush or somewhere for barbecue in the winter with relatives.
And what about after the war, a lot of European migrants moved in, did you? Find many of them settling around here?
Yes, yeah. At one stage I was the only Australian in this block of houses
really?
Down here, yes. But I found them all pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What nationalities?
I was Polish, She's Scottish, married to a Maltese next door. Mm-hmm. Then there's an Australian, but they used to be Italians in there. And then there was an Australian married to an Italian. Then there's a Yugoslav married to an Italian. And then there's two Yugoslavs. And then there are Italians further down. We had, and Germans around the corner. Lithuanian married to a German.
And when would they have moved in here?
Oh, they came after the war. In the 50s, I guess it would have been. Up in the Margrave when they started to bring the refugees out from from Europe.
And
Dutch. But the Dutch mostly seemed to clan together and go out, you know, with one border, where one bought a block of land, the other one would buy a block of land next to it, and they seemed to stick together like a clan.
And did you find the European people had any effect on life in the area? You know, did their lifestyle...
Except that some of them hadn't have everything straight away. Oh, you must do this and you must tell me this and how much can I get this for? And that was it. They weren't willing to wait and go without. Mm-hmm. Like when I moved in here, I had nothing. I had one wicker chair. I had no lounge, had no a table that had been loaned to me and chairs from my father that had been loaned to me. And I was happy, not happy, but content to go without until we could afford it and pay cash.
Right. You didn't use credit.
No credit. and I felt that some of they had to have it straight away. And it's strange because they'd been deprived in Europe for so long.
Maybe that was why they thought they'd come to a new country.
Yeah.
And the industry here now, of course, is quite...
Oh, large,
It's grown enormously. And what sort of industry is there now?
I don't know. What do our case up there make... It's a heavy industry, farm machinery and things like that. I don't know.
Horses across here, what do they make?
I don't know. Mm. I really don't know.
I don't want to know.
It's noisy, whatever it is that he makes. Mm. You know the British Gaumont gong, man with a gong?
Yes.
I think that's what he is.
Oh. Making that noise. Mm. And... So when you think back on what it was like here when you were growing up as a child and what it developed into after the war with the more population moving out to the West, what are your main feelings about it?
There are some things that have their advantages, like medical facilities. Shopping's easy. I rarely go out of St Mary's to buy anything now. I think the only thing I'd have to leave here for would be to buy furniture.
And where would you go for that?
I don't know. It all depended on what I wanted. Mm. Parramatta or the furniture shops are everywhere, but not here. Mm-hmm. And electrical shops here. But all in all, It's lost its village atmosphere where you go down the street and you'd meet someone. You knew you were going to meet someone and have a little chat. Mm-hmm. You never see anyone you know now. Mm-hmm. Never. Because I think the population's something up close to 100,000 now. Because by the year 2000, I think St Mary's and Penrith you're estimating 200,000.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be more.
Yeah.
And what other things have changed that, for the better or for the worse, how's it affected you?
The noise, of course. Mm-hmm. I just don't have to. Rarely do I go away from here to buy anything. even Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. No, I can't. I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's just lost its friendly atmosphere and
the sense of security you were talking about.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The you never know who to trust. Now, we had a big storm here one night. It was dreadful. And the poor old Labrador that I had used to go berserk when she got older. When she was young, she used to ignore it. And she used to go berserk. And this night we had this dreadful storm. And she kept coming into my bedroom beside my bed and going, And I thought, in the end I thought, she's not going to leave me alone. I'll have to get up and go out there with her. Not that she could do anything for her. When I got out here, Nick was already out of his room, sitting there, and I said, oh, she got you up too. I said, what did she want me for? Anyhow, of course we had the lights on, and I said, well, she's not going to let us sleep. I might as well go and have a cup of coffee while I'm sitting here. This is about 3:30 in the morning. We had the light on. Next thing, there was a knock at the door. And it's still teeming, cats and dogs. And I opened the door. Oh, well, I opened the inside door, not the outside one. And there was a young fellow there. He was just as though you picked him out of the sea like that. He was plastered with water, just drenched. And he said, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I saw your light on. And he said, would you mind ringing for a taxi for me? And I said, no. So I thought, well, I'm not asking you in. I said, I'm sorry, I can't ask you in. And he said, no, that's all right. I couldn't come in anyway. He said, but I'll just stand up there. It was shivering. It was cold. Anyhow, I said afterwards, he wanted this taxi, and I said afterwards to Nick, now isn't that dreadful to think that a person, I said, years ago you'd have invited that person in, given them a rug to put round them, and given them a cup of coffee to warm them up. I said, I wouldn't have opened, he asked me for a cigarette. I wasn't going to open the door and give him a cigarette. No way.
Well, you've had those three men try to knock the door down?
Yeah, kick it down. No, she said they were kicking it. But they got it open.
So it is,
and they broke the handle off the one round the corner, off the security door.
So the security angle is one that has
changed. Oh, yes,
changed.
That's a bad one, yes.
And what about the way children live in the area now? Do you think that's changed very much?
I don't know. I don't have much to do with the children now. I always say I've read mine, shuck of other people's.
Yeah. your upbringing and your children's upbringing, was there much difference?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
No.
Except that I was a loner and they had each other to fight with.
Yeah.
And boy, you know how many pairs you can make out of three children?
How
you
many?
Can make three.
Yeah.
You make that one and that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. And there's always two against one somewhere.
So, and what about the landscape, how that's changed since before the war?
Well, we had beautiful natural flora and fauna. There were foxes over there. I know they're class them as a pest or rodent or something now, but and rabbits. The rabbit man used to come with his basket and the rabbits in it, you know, with a white cloth over. Caught the rabbits over there. 1 and 6 a pair. What are they now? About $4 each.
Something. Luxury.
I couldn't bring myself to eat them now. Mum used to do all sorts of things with rabbits. She'd bake them. She'd braise, stew them. She'd curry them. Mm. She'd fricassee them.
They taste good too.
They used to. I used to love it. But I haven't been able to buy a rabbit since the kids had a pet one.
And so that seems to
Yeah, I mean, all flora that was here, I see them now showing natural Australian things on TV, and I often say, we used to have that growing around here. We used to have them, the little fly catchers, you know those like honeydews?
Oh, yes.
We used to have them here. We used to have ground berries and five corners. We used to go and pick and eat.
Five corners.
Do you know what five corners? Nobody. I've only ever found one person that knew what a five corner was, and that was a fellow from Canberra. I mentioned five corners one day. He said, do you know what they are?
It's a little fruit, is it?
Yeah, a little. It's a spiky little plant that grows like that with sharp, and the berries grow in like that. And they're sweet. They're nicer than the ground berries are. Oh, well, they're a pretty little prickly bush that goes flat on the ground. You lift them up and pull the berries off them and eat them. But the five corners are the nicer ones of the two. They grow up in a bush like that. But sago bushes and things like that that used to grow. And, you know.
Could you pick your own sago?
No. Oh. It has a flower on it like that. It's just a shrub. It has a flower, and it's just like a lot of sago on the top.
So you don't see any of those things?
Don't see any. Chocolate flowers.
Never heard of them.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're a little purple flower, and they grow in the ground, and they smell just like milk chocolate.
Really?
A little purple. And little ground orchids, you know, I don't know what they call them. We used to call them orchid, bush orchids. But they had a little yellow flower with brown spots on them, just like a little orchid they were.
You don't see anything like that.
It's all been bulldozed. It's all gone. Of course, we don't see the bull ants now either. Remember those big bull ants?
That's a good thing. And then you've got all this industry over here.
Oh, that's true.
To look at.
It's an eyesore, an absolute eyesore. But we used to take, even when the throat, well, that wasn't mooted until about 1972 or 3, that, over there. We used to take the three children for a walk through cross over the railway line and down the other side. And the kids used to love it. There were little dells where the little bush ferns grew and chocolate flowers.
It was magic.
It was. And the kids used to absolutely adore it. Oh, we're going for a walk, you know, and they used to adore it. Go right down to the creek down there and walk along the creek and come back again. It's all gone.
Oh, I think that's just about covered everything, really, unless you could think of anything else that you'd like to tell me about.
Can't think of anything. Did I mention on that tape? I mentioned about walking home from the railway station on the...
This was when you were coming home at night?
Yes, mm-hmm. Coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be bush each side. No worries, never worried about anything.
And how far was that to walk?
About half a mile. It's half a mile from that corner. It used to go straight through down to the station.
And your parents didn't worry about you coming home at night?
No. I suppose my mother would have worried if I had not been in by... say 1:15, you know, because 10-minute walk up from the station. But I was so envious of the girls that lived in the city, you know, and they could catch a tram and go, I used to have this long train trip home. Have a sleep on the way home, of course.
And the trains were safe in those days too.
They were, yes. Oh, definitely. Wouldn't have any trouble on the trains. But not... eldest daughter's had a couple of nasty experiences on the train.
Has
in the daytime.
Really?
Mm. Oh, yes.
And I think about the only thing I haven't asked you about really was the transport and the roads. You know, the bus, there wasn't much bus transport, I believe.
No, the buses didn't start here until, must have been in the 50s, I think. Mm-hmm. There was a taxi.
Oh, was there?
Yes. Yeah. I would have used to hold a pile of people. It had seats that folded down and also, I can't remember, and his name was Darling or Darlington, his surname. And they used to hire him to take them to Penrith pictures on Saturday afternoon. Oh. And they used to pay a shilling each.
This was
my mother with me and a couple of sisters and, you know, whoever they'd get a load for him and pay a shilling each for the taxi. And he'd be there. He'd be there waiting for us when we came out of the theatre. See, but we used to have a theatre in St Mary's too.
Did you?
Down in it was. When was that opened? In the 90s. Must have been in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then with the advent of TV, of course.
It went.
I went down there one night to see Long Hot Summer, I think it was, and they had. There were 18 people in the theatre. It held 999.
Goodness.
So he went down the drain. Mm.
Right. Well, look, I think we've just about covered everything, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For your time.
Yeah, we used to, if we got a penny to spend, we used to go down to the grocers where they had a cardboard box and would have what they called lamp posts in it, which was a stick with a cone of red or green lolly, a hard lolly on the top, or marshmallow clocks, or, and cigars, marshmallow cigars with the chocolate on the end of them. And what else did they have in that box? Oh, penny creamy toffees, aniseed sticks, I can't think of all the things.
All for a penny.
A penny each. Yeah. And if you were lucky and you got there. Oh, the little cone, the penny ice cream cone, that was filled with sherbet with marshmallow on the top and hundreds and thousands stuck in the marshmallow. And if you were lucky and they opened a new box, you had a pick of all that. It was absolutely wonderful. Oh, you know, great.
That was when you were a child.
When I was a child, yes. It was really great, you know, to get, or if you wanted something that was going to last a bit longer, you'd get a penneth worth of boiled lollies. And the grocer used to get a piece of paper and twist it into it like an ice cream cone around his hand, twist the bottom of it, fill it with boiled lollies out of the jar, and then that was your penny worth of lollies.
These days everything's packaged, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'd love to be able to buy some loose biscuits for a change. Instead of buying a full 250 grams of one sort of biscuit,
yes.
You know, I'd love to be able to say, oh, well, I'll have a few of those and a few of those and a few of something else.